Shemar Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 34. We want to finish Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura's Tika. But we'll repeat the verse again and the translation. And this verse, the narrator of the Ras Lila steps out of the Ras Lila. He steps up from behind the curtain, so to speak. And the drama, because it's been the gopis searching for Krishna, and they found his footprints, then they found Radharani's footprints, and different gopis are speaking back and forth. And Chandravali's gopis insult Radharani, putting her down and saying she's lusty, saying Krishna's just lusty, and many ordinary type of talks like this. So the reader or the hearer of the Srimad Bhagavatam may think that Krishna's pastimes by hearing these type of dialogues or conversations between the gopis and verses 28 through 33, that it's ordinary, mundane, commonplace, material love affairs. So then Shukadev Goswami, he steps out from behind the scenes, the dialogue stops, the searching for Krishna stops, and he gives us a reminder of the transcendental identity of Krishna and Radharani, and he makes a very clear distinction between material lovers and material world and the transcendental prime relationship of Radha and Krishna. And so we heard the commentaries of Sri Jiva Goswami Pad yesterday, and there's a little bit more by Vishwanath. We'll read from it, continue. Text 34, chapter 30. Rame taya chatmarata apnaramo chakandata kaminam dashiyan dhainyam strinam cheva duratmatam strinam cheva duratmatam. So in the first part of the verse, Shukamuni is describing Krishna is Atmaram, and that Atmaram nature of Krishna is a kandita. It never breaks. He's always Om Purnam Adam Purnamidam Purnam Udachate. He's always completely pure, and he's Atmarata. Atmarata means that he's Aptakam. He has no desire. He's fulfilled in himself. He's completely fulfilled, has no desire to fulfill. That's one thing. But then he's also blissful. Some people may be desireless, but not blissful. So there's a state where one can be desireless, be free from desire, but doesn't necessarily mean he's blissful. So everyone in this world, we all want to be fulfilled. We want to be whole. We talk about holistic healing and holistic life. But to be completely whole means to be connected with Bhagavan. So Krishna is not only desireless, fulfilled, and complete, but he has Surupananda. Surupananda means his very form is bliss, Satchidanand. So this is being established here in the first two lines, Pada 1 and 2 of this text 34, and Pada 3 and 4, third and fourth line. Then he contrasts Krishna's identity, his existential transcendental identity, which singularizes Krishna from all the lovers, all the people of this world. Then he addresses these words, because in the previous verses, 31, 2, 3, this word kamina, kamani has been used by the anti-party. Chandravali, Padma Shaibya, they're saying, oh, this kamani radha and kamina sham, this is a lusty boy and lusty girl. So we use the word kamani. Usually we're using the word Shringharati or Krishna Prema to describe. Prema is a Hindi word. It means love. But when we say alokik prema, this prema, this look of this world is called lokik, material, mundane prema. But that is divya, transcendental, alokik prema. This is another type of prema. It's eternal. It's pure. It's selfless. And it's spiritual. So here, now Shukamuni addresses that in the third and fourth pada. Kaminam darshiyan dhainyam strinam chaiva dhratmatam. He says that he talks about the kamina, because previously the sakis were criticizing the anti-party rivals, Vipaksha sakis, were criticizing Krishna as being a kamina, an ordinary lover, and Radharani. So now he says, Shukamuni says, ordinary lusty men, darshayan, you can see their degraded condition, their fallen condition. Dainyam, dainyam, we say dainyabhav. This is very necessary in bhakti and a basic foundation of prema, humility and submission and dedication. But it also means wretchedness. Dainyam. Dainya means wretched. Someone's very wretched and very despicable and deplorable. He's also dainya. So he's saying, kaminam darshayan dainyam. So Shukamuni is saying, when you see darsha, when you see the wretched condition, the wretched, deplorable condition of ordinary materialistic kamina, this is masculine. Kamini is kamini. Radha and kamina sham. When you see, then you can see the vast difference between the selfishness and exploitiveness of a kamina, materialistic man who's so-called, quote-unquote, loves his girlfriend. So the third line is about the kaminam darshayan dainyam, then strinam duratmatam. So the man is wretched, the materialistic lover, he's lusty, he's wretched, he's selfish, he's egoistic and proud. Sound familiar? Ever met anybody like that? Are you like that? and then contrast that type of, and then his partner. What is his partner like? Is the lady the stree? Stree means the feminine, the yin and the yang. Strinam cheva duratmatam. Atma means heart, and dura means hard, and dura means difficult. And dur means bad, and dur means far and distant. Many things dur means. So Duratma, her heart is, that's why it says, you can see the vast, Shukamuni says, you can see the vast difference between Krishna's transcendental, immaculately pure love affairs with Radharani and the gopis and the ordinary materialistic lusty men and hard-hearted women. It's translated as hard-hearted. Because Atma means heart. Atma means consciousness. Atma means Atma, Jiva, life principle. And Atma means mind, and very being. So if you analyze, you take the prefix dur and apply it to such wretched materialistic men and women, you see that their hearts are hard. Their minds are far away from transcendence. Dur Atma. That means their Atma, their minds are very far from the transcendental qualities that we hear about Radharani and Krishna. And their very beings are very difficult to understand and difficult to relate to. Someone who is a cultured transcendentalist, he'll find it very difficult to relate to strinam cheva duratmatam, hard-hearted, insensitive, egoistic men and women of this world. So this is a step back into philosophy and to reinforce the principles of tattva, which is the foundation of lila. So in the Leela has been rolling along quite a long time, from chapter 29, from the introduction of Rasa Leela and the meeting of Radha and Krishna, initial rejection and disappointment, rejection by Krishna and disappointment and frustration of the gopis. And finally there was some appeasement and they settled their differences and they started to intimately enjoy together, wandering in the forest, Ban Bihar, and singing together, admiring the beauty of Brajavan in the moonlight, the midnight of Maharas dance. And then Krishna, unpredictable like he is, he appears, he disappears. This is called spurti. With the greatest of devotees, the greatest of premi bhaktis, greatest of premi bhaktas, they're doing their bhajan, they're doing their seva, manasi seva and indriya seva with their bodies and paricharya. Paricharya means so many varieties of seva with the body. And then the manasik seva with the subtle linga shirir in their mind. And then Krishna disappears, or he appears. And he appears on his own free will. So that's called spurti. And then if he deeply and strongly appears for some long period of time, that's called vispurti. It's all internal, it's all visionary, but it feels very real. But when Krishna appears outside the vision, the internal vision, and outside the mind, directly before the external pratyaksha indriya, the perceivable senses, manifest senses, Krishna's pratyaksha, that's called sakshatkar, direct perception. Krishna gives the the ability, the bhav, the premanjana. Anjana, this is an invisible ointment. You can't go to the chemist shop or the medical shop and buy, can you give me one tube of anjan? And they sell anjan, different ointments and homeopathic drops to put in your eyes to make them sparkle and look clear. They're anjans. But this premanjana is only, it's a gift. Prem is a gift from the premi. The premi sarup is Radharani and the prem sarup is Krishna. So that if they come sometimes and they coat the eyes, like they say the when the little children are sleeping, that the goddess of sleep sprinkles sleepy dust in their eyes and makes them go to sleep. The mother will tell the child he's not sleeping. Oh, you have to lie, you have to close your eyes. So the sleeping fairy, the Gandharva of sleep, she will come. It's a fact, actually. Nidra Devi. But we said that the sleeping fairy will come and sprinkle dust on your eyes and you'll fall asleep. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Churita bhakti vilochan. So when premanjana comes in the eyes, then we get special eyes. Divine eyes are called bhakti lochan. With the eye of love, you can see the beloved. So we also, that works in the material world also. With the eye of love, you can see the beloved. So the man loves his wife. Very nice reminder of the transcendental identity. This is actually done by in the BBT commentaries by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who are combining the tikkas of Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti on text 34 into a very beautiful and complete presentation, which is very nice to hear. For our own conviction, it's called Shraddha Anvita. It says in the Bhagavatam, in the Shruti file, the conclusion of the Ras Lila, chapter 33, verse 39, Vikriditam Brajavadubir, Vikriditam Brajavadubir, says that Shraddha Anvita, if one hears the pastimes, the playful, loving pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, with Shraddha Anvita, with proper conviction and faith, then Ridrogam Kamam Virunoti Achirena Virunoti Ridrogam Kamam. First it says Param Bhakti. This is Shruti Phala Shukamuni. Param Bhakti Labhyate. Param Bhakti Labhyate. Then Ridrogam Kamam Achirena Virunoti. That this by hearing this Ras Lila with faith, with conviction, without any Shamshaya. Shamshaya is a great obstacle to bhakti and a great obstacle to progress in devotion or bhakti bhajan. This concept of shamshaya or doubt or hesitation or questioning and lack of belief is addressed many times in Gita. And Krishna often asks to Arjuna, his disciple, his student, are your doubts now removed? Shamshaya. So therefore, we may have doubts about Krishna's identity, doubts about Radharani's identity. So to be reminded in different ways by different acharyas of their transcendental identity is very helpful for strengthening our faith, Shraddha Anvita, so that we'll come to a point where it doesn't matter what the argument is, what the logic is, what the reason is, what anyone says. We can say, you can challenge whatever you want, but I'm convinced and I accept this fully. This is my reality. This is my life. This is my belief. If you accept it, that's very nice. If you don't, I respect yours. And I will not be disturbed by your arguments. We try our best to logically explain. But ultimately, not everyone is a great debater. Very few people are good at debating. And very few people are good at arguing. And it's best, but the main point is to convince ourselves. We have to be convinced individually. We may not be loquacious and have expert oratorical skills to be able to debate. We may be simple, humble people. But even then, turmoil and confusion and doubts and hesitation may be swirling within our own minds and hearts in our own ways. So as we say, or as it's said, physician, heal thyself. So the disease lies within. So that The doubts are our doubts, and we have to live with our doubts. We don't care about your doubts. You have your doubts or you have your convictions. That's well and good. But I have to clear my slate and clear my mind. So this is what it means, nishchita. Nishchita bhakti. Anishchita, anishchita. So anartha nivritti, the bridge between anartha nivritti and nishta is based on shraddha. The depth of the shraddha and the strength of conviction. So let's go on. This is the BBT Tika, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Basically, this is some of our intelligent guru bhais. They're saying this in relation to this speaking of Shukamuni. They say, some people argue, here we go, right? Some people argue that since the activities of Bhagavan Sri Krishna resemble those of ordinary human beings like you and me, Krishna cannot be the absolute truth or God. It is inconceivable to them that a handsome young boy and a beautiful young girl are enjoying romantic affairs in the forest moonlight can be engaging in pure activity free from egoistic desire and lust. This verse directly refutes this superficial criticism that materialistic people sometimes direct against Sri Krishna's Braja Leela. By using the words Atmarata, because in the verse that line is there in Pada 1, Rame Taya Atmarat, Atmarat Rata, he who takes pleasure only in himself. Atmarata means the same as Apta Kam. Apta Kam and Atmarata. By using the words Atmarata and Akandita, Shukamuni is, in this verse, Shukadev Goswami is emphatically pointing out that Sri Krishna acts on the liberated platform of spiritual satisfaction. In other words, whatever he's doing is not doing for, he's not doing it for number one. He's not doing it for me. Contrasting our lives and activities and our thinking, our feeling, our planning, our acting is all for me. I move for me, I speak for me, I sleep for me, I eat for me, I think for me, I buy for me, I spend for me. Me, 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 me. You. No, you. We have a phrase in America, not very good. Me first, me second, you never. Sound familiar? It's become worldwide now. Me first, me second, you never. You don't even get number three or four. You don't even get, you know, like you. Yeah, me first, me second. You never. But never last. At least you got a position. You're in the race. But here you're never. You're not even in the race. So this is what he's saying. That let's see. So by using these words, so in other words, Krishna is completely self-satisfied, Atmarata. He's Om Purna Purnamidam Idam. He has everything. He's completely full. And that's why he said he's Swarupanand. And the technical term, his very form, his very Swarup is full of bliss. And when he acts, when Krishna's thinking and feeling and willing, when he's acting for others. He's acting for the benefit of others. And he's feeling for his devotees. That's why Krishna, especially Bhagavan Sri Krishna Vrindavan, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Sham Sundar, and then this Nandalal, Krishna. He has his quality that distinguishes him from all other forms of Bhagavan. What is that quality? Bhakta Vatsalya. He has so much affection and love for his devotees, or anyone that even mimics devotion, or anyone that even dresses like a devotee, or anyone who even doesn't even dress like a devotee, but even shows some devotional sentiments towards Krishna, he reciprocates with them. Beginning with Putana. Putana wasn't dressing like a devotee. She didn't have Tulsi neck beads. She didn't have a big Tulsi leaf, wooden Tulsi leaf around her neck that said Jaya Radhe, to show how big a devotee she is. And she didn't have, you know, sandalwood earrings. She wasn't wearing a gopi dress. She didn't have tilak. She didn't have a japa bead bag stuck on the end of, you know, locked on the end of her hand. She came in, she looked like Urvasi or Ramburu or Tilotama. Tilotama, Ramburu, and Urvasi are the most dashing, dazzling devis of Swargaloka. They're some of the top three girlfriends of Indra. Urvasi, Ramburu, and Tilotama. So she was looking like them. And it says in the Bhagavad, everyone in the village of Gokul, because Krishna was only 6 days old, everyone in the village of Gokul was really dazzled and attracted to this form. They thought it was Lakshmi Devi coming to see Narayan. Because, of course, Gargamuni at the name-giving ceremony of Krishna said, your son, Nandababa, your son is Narayana Sama. Your son is like Narayan. He's something like Narayan. So don't be surprised if he always protects you. Don't be surprised if he shows some extraordinary powers, because he's like Narayan. He's your son, don't forget. He's something like Narayan. So sometimes Nandababa, he says, when all the Brijvasis are saying, how could your son swallow that forest fire? How could he show the universal form in his mouth to Mother Yashoda? How could he pull down those two Arjuna trees when he's simply a little baby with a chubby little belly and butter in his mouth? How could he lift Govardhan Hill? They're out questioning. He must be Narayan. He must be God. And Nanda Baba would say, no, he's my Lala. How are you saying that? How can you say he's God? When he's sleeping in his bedroom, as soon as there's a thunderstorm and a lightning bolt goes, boom, he runs out of his room, he jumps in the bed with me, and he holds on to me, and he says, Daddy, Daddy, help me, bachao, bachao, protect me, protect me. And how is it that when he comes back from cowherding, he starts crying, and he asks Janani, he asks Yashoda Ma, he says, oh, where's my sandesh, where's my rubbery? You know, and she said, okay, wait a second, Lala. No, I want it now. She says, just wait, I have to get it from the kitchen. No, I want it now. And he starts falling on the ground, kicking his legs and making a big noise. How is he God? But remember, he's something like Narayan. So then all the coward men, they immediately get into this sweet Vatsalya mood and give up this Aishwarya, this ingress of Aishwarya Bhav. Oh, yeah, he's just Yashoda Dulal and Nandalal. Oh, Lala. And then they pick Krishna up and they kiss him and smell his forehead and pass him from coward man to coward man, from Upananda to Nanda to Avinandan. And they say, yeah, Narayana Sama. Okay, go play. So then again, it's Madhurya, that sweet aspect of their parental love. So this goes on with this explanation. Indeed, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is inconceivable to ordinary persons. But for those who love Krishna, his devotees, they can easily recognize Krishna's absolute pure nature of his activities and leelas. The proof of Krishna's transcendental nature and the transcendental identity of his amorous affairs with the Brajagopis is that these Madhurya leelas have a unique power in that if one understands and realizes their true transcendental quality, even to some degree, then one will become free from all tinges of lusty desire, which I just said. Sharanvita. He says, Param Bhakti. Because if we approach these leelas, especially this Ras Leela, this is the crown of the Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam, this is the Shiromani, the crest jewel of the whole Bhagavatam. And the Acharyas say that the Ras Leela is Krishna's. They say that the 10th canto is Krishna's face, and the Ras Leela is his smile, the smile on his face. And the 5 chapters of the Ras Leela are Krishna's Panchapran. There's 5 chapters, 29 through 33. This is the Panchapran. There's Apan, there's Pran and Apan and Udan and these different 5 life airs that maintain the existence of the Jiva in this body. So the very life airs of Krishna are these 5 chapters, the Panchapran. And so this is essential. Without pran, there's no existence in this body. The pran is what carries the atma from body to body. So Krishna's very existence is established and maintained by the connection of the pran with the atma. So the Pancha Prana of Krishna, Krishna's existence, Krishna's divine, sweet, beautiful existence is established and maintained by the Ras Lila, the five chapters of the Ras Lila. And many, many people, they say, oh, don't read this and don't look at this. And but this is, that's like saying, oh, don't breathe. Don't breathe. Don't breathe. Don't listen. And read the first canto, and as soon as you get to the 10th canto, go back to the first canto. As I told once before, I was in one temple and one mission, and finally after, I don't know how many years, this temple in India, one temple in India, by going verse by verse by verse, Nityam Bhagavata Sevya, Nashtapareshu Badreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. So dutifully and religiously and following the lead of the founder, every day, this temple is having a class on one verse of Bhagavad Gita. But Srimad Bhagavatam. And after 40-some years, they came to the 10th canto. And they came to the 10th canto, chapter 6. I believe it's Putana Mardan, Leela. And we were there in that temple giving class. And then, right, and we were giving class, and I don't know how much we were talking about Putana, but maybe we started talking about Radharani somewhere in the class, undoubtedly. But we were giving class on the commentaries, and then the announcement came. And then I was supposed to give this announcement, and it just came from the heavenly planets. And now, starting tomorrow's class, we will go back to the first canto, verse 1, because we cannot go forward and further in the 10th canto. So I was giving class then in that momentous occasion in that temple. And I said, probably when you get to the 10th canto again, I don't know, surely I won't be here. And probably a lot of you sitting here won't be here either because it'll be 40 years from now. And most of you are about 25. And I was about 55 or whatever I was. And so, and that happened there and all the other temples around in that mission. And no one realizes that the very first book of that mission that the founder ever gave was the Krishna book. 1968, 69, when he published the Krishna book. Way before the Gita, by the way. Bhagavad Gita was published in 1971. From 1966 to 71, they were studying the Bhagavad Gita by Dr. Radhakrishna for the verses and the translation. Of course, the guru was giving the explanations. So the first books, what were the first books? 1969, Nectar of Devotion and Krishna Book. 10th canto and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 1970, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And 1970 or 69, Ishopanishad. And anyone who came in the beginning, that's what they got. The first book I got was Krishna Book. And that was, I came in 74. And I also got Gita and Nectar Devotion and Isopanishad. And I read them and I thought, oh, the most exciting part of this whole Krishna book is Ras Lila. And ever since then, I've been captivated by those chapters. I like. So this is, they say more. It's amazing. I really like this. The proof of the transcendental nature of Krishna's amorous affairs is the transformational quality. Because we read about Krishna's love affairs, let's say amorous, transcendental, spiritual, pure, romantic exchanges with the gopis, and sounds familiar. Oh, I embrace, I kiss, I dance, I do so many things with my husband or wife, lady or gent. And if I tell my friend, you want me to tell you about what I did Saturday night with my beloved? Yeah, tell me. So then, if you narrate, what will be the effect that other person? I mean, he'll get disturbed, or she'll get disturbed. But that's the whole idea. That's the proof that Krishna's leelas, any of his leelas, what to speak of these topmost leelas, because the topmost point of bondage is Ridya Grantamahu. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, it says, Yan Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukhami Tucham. Ridya Grantamahu. Yan Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukhami Tucham. Ridya Grantamahu. The granti means a knot, a hard, strong knot. And Riddhi means heart, heart, H-E-A-R-T, heart. So this Yan Maitunadi, beginning this combination of male and female, it ties the strongest, most impossible to untie knot in the heart. It's called Rati, intense attachment. So this most difficult attachment, which is difficult to transcend and leave, is completely cut. You take a big knife and you can cut any knot in any rope and free the two ends, and the knot has no meaning and the rope has no power to bind anyone if it's cut in half by a rope. So this is the power of transformational quality. We read about Krishna's pastimes. We're becoming purified moment by moment, desire by desire. Remember, we have 10 million desires for nonsense. At least in this department, man, woman, nonsense. 10 million desires. And as we hear Ras Lila minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, life by life, then 10 million becomes 9 million, 8 million, 7 million, 6 million. And pretty soon we have a clean heart. Because his bhakti transforms everything. Bhakti brings with it bliss, and bhakti brings with it knowledge. And this is the absence of bliss, and the absence of transcendental bliss, and the absence of transcendental knowledge results in having these 10 million material desires for enjoying men and women. So bhakti means the combination of Ladini Shakti. It's a power, it's a potency, it's energy. And Samvit Shakti. Samvit Shakti means divine, transcendental, liberating, elevating, purifying knowledge, wisdom. Now we're dumb. We're not wise. So when we get wisdom, wisdom, we won't be dumb, we'll be wise. Wisdom. The dumb becomes wise by hearing wisdom. That's an interesting way to say it. So this is the proof, the transformational quality. Yes, if I hear about my friend's romantic activities, it also transforms me. It transforms my mind from being peaceful. I was peaceful and doing my studies until I heard about your love affairs, and I became completely agitated and disturbed. You shook up the mud from the bottom of my jar. The mind is like a jar, jar, a glass, a jug. Glass jug, glass jar. And it has water in it. On the bottom of the jug, there's 1 inch, 2 inches, three of mud. 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters of mud. Reit, miti, dirt. And if you don't shake it, then the water stays pure on the top and the mud stays in the bottom. So our mind is like that. Oh, I'm doing my schoolwork. I'm doing my work. I'm doing my duty. I'm going to work and this, that. And then all the 10 million desires sit on the bottom of our mind. And we think, oh, I'm peaceful. I'm a good devotee. I'm okay. But if somebody rattles us or somebody shakes us, we become so angry, so envious, so possessive, so lusty, so agitated. Shanti, 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 shanti. So that it's transforming in a negative way by hearing about material romantic exploits. When we hear about Krishna's Shringarati with the beloved damsels of Vrindavan, then we become transformed. The caterpillar becomes a butterfly. The asura becomes a sur. The demon becomes a devotee. The lusty person becomes a lover of God. The angry person becomes a peaceful, loving person. So this is power, transcendental power, divine wisdom, and pure love. And that's everything about the Ras Lila. The Ras Lila is full of divine wisdom and transcendental love. We want to be exponents of Ras Lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Ras Lila in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, if anyone hears in his own words in Bengali, Bangala Bhasha, Mahaprabhu says, anyone hears Ras Lila, even a materialistic conditioned soul, contaminated materialistic papi, Vishayi, he'll become a pure lover of God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is encouraging this and explaining the power. The amorous pastimes of Krishna, it goes on. I said it will transform. They have a unique power in that if one understands and realizes the true transcendental quality and nature of Krishna's Ras Lila with the damsels of Brajabhumi, One will become free from all tinges of lusty, amorous desires and attain such a state of mind that can never be attained by meditating upon material lusty affairs. The Vedanta states that the absolute truth, Krishna, is the source of everything. Therefore, the absolute cannot lack any of the beautiful things, beautiful or most pleasurable things of this world. Thus, the amorous pastimes of Krishna, which are beautiful, and the supreme activity for which everyone is hankering in this world, everyone is hankering to combine with the opposite. The amorous pastimes of Krishna perfectly round out Krishna's qualification as the Supreme Absolute Truth. It is only because of Krishna's romantic affairs, they exist in a pure spiritual form in the Absolute, that they can manifest in an impure material form in this world. That's the original form. In other words, sometimes when people hear about Krishna being God and saying that he has romantic activities, they challenge, oh, that's not possible. God creates and protects. He protects and creates and maintains. What are you saying? We do these things here, but God doesn't do these things. So their logic is that we human beings are more than God. We have more activities and more variegated activities. God just sits on a big throne all day and people fan him and feed him chup and bog, and he just sits and eats and sleeps and enjoys, and he doesn't do anything like we do. We do this and we do that. So if that's true, then what's the point of mukti? What's the point of moksha? Dharmart kam moksha. If you have it all, you have everything that God has plus more, then you're more than God. God is deficient. So this, many people have this idea, especially Christians, that they have a very limited God. Oh, God can't do that. God can't be a little boy. God can't steal yogurt. God can't lie. It can't be. God has to be like this. Why God has to fit in your box? You have a box brain. You have a box brain and you want to fit God in your box brain, but Krishna says in Gita Sarvagata that the Atma is spread everywhere and the Paramatma is everywhere. Sarvagata. Everywhere is Atma. Everywhere is consciousness. Chit and Atma. Everywhere. Just as the Akash. Akash is within and without and everywhere. Sky is everywhere. Well, sky is an element. An element is conscious. And the ultimate consciousness is Krishna. So Krishna has everything and more. He has everything we have and more. We have death. He doesn't. We have old age. He doesn't. We have disease. He doesn't. We have electric bills. He doesn't. We have food bills. He doesn't. We have to buy new clothes. He doesn't. We get ugly. He doesn't. We have to pay taxes. He doesn't. He doesn't even pay sales tax. Not even gross GST. So it says in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam that people will be so harassed by the government with ridiculous taxes and all kinds of things that they'll run away and go to the forest to take shelter. But my question to the Bhagavatam is, where is the forest? I guess they're Chi Kalagya, but they couldn't imagine that we could play it so bad, knock all the forests off. Anyway, maybe it means some forest, another planet or something. Can't say. It must be true. We have to understand. I mean, there's a lot. It's a big planet. You know, you have to go somewhere you can find a forest. Leave Delhi and go to the middle of the Amazon or something. But even then, they're foresting, you know, with tractors and helicopters. And Earth is a mother, Bhumi Mata. And they've defiled her and exploited her and and stripped her and ruined her and taken everything off her surface and everything from inside. They've taken everything inside out of her and everything from her surface they've taken. They've taken, exploited, destroyed. So it was very, very undesirable thing in any way or any, but it's true. It's actually true. Look around. So the Vedanta, Krishna is the embodiment of Vedanta, aesthetic Vedanta, as often professors, they make this idea. So this is the pure form, Krishna's pastimes. So the final point is that the conclusion is that the pure transcendental amorous love that is completely free from traces of lust and selfishness is the subject of the Rasa-lila, which reveals to the world that Bhagavan in his most beautiful and pleasurable form as the transcendental romantic hero of Radharani and the Brajagopis, they together are the best examples of pure devotion, Krishna Prema. So this is the commentary in this verse 34. Now we're going to, verse 35. We're going to begin verse 35 of the chapter 30. Hityevam darshayantyastas cherur gopya vichestata vichestasa yam gopim anayat krishno vihayanya striyohane. This is verse 35. Actually, they're grouped here together in the BBT, so 35 and 36. We'll read it because the translation is also clubbed together. 36. Sacha mene tadatmanam varishtam sarvayoshitam hitwa gopi kamayana mama so bhajate priya. This is a translation. This is actually 35. As the gopis wander about the forest of Vrindavan, looking for Krishna and noticing Radharani's footprints and noticing Krishna's footprints, their minds become completely bewildered as they point out the various signs of Krishna's pastimes. We heard previously in the other verses how Krishna's walking with Radharani and they only see the front part of his feet, not his whole footprint. They're imagining different leelas. Oh, Krishna's stretching up. He's on his tippy toes, stretching up on a ball of his feet to pick some flowers from the high in the trees. And then over here, we see two sets of footprints. Radharani's footprints are facing this way, and Krishna's footprints are facing her. And then they imagine, the gopis, oh, Radharani and Krishna must have sat here facing each other. And those flowers that Krishna picked, he's putting them in Radharani's hair. And his name is Keshava. Kesha means one who is expert in dressing and combing Radharani's hair. So he must be, never, the name is there. Krishna must be putting these flowers in Radharani's hair, and he's paying so much attention to her. And then, now we see that the footprints are side by side. They must have gotten up now, and they're walking through the forest. Oh, now we only see one pair of footprints. Oh, Radharani must, her feet must, they're so tender and soft. And all these dry grass and dry seeds and little stickers in the Braja Raj must be hurting her feet. So Krishna picked her up and Skande, it says, carried her on her shoulder, and now he's gone off somewhere to a lonely place with Radharani. And they're imagining all these things just by seeing some footprints. They may be completely correct, they may be completely wrong, but they're imagining all these beautiful exchanges and pastimes where Radharani is being emphasized and glorified as number one, and Krishna is humbly and lovingly, personally serving her in every possible way, carrying her and decorating her, and all the things that generally we imagine that the devotees and the votaries of God, the servants of God, they're directing all their service to God and serving God and caring for him and taking care of him and carrying him or whatever, attending to his wants and needs. But here the reverse is that the god is Shri, the god is Shakti, Vrindavaneshwari, and Krishna is becoming her humble servant out of his love, out of his attachment. And he's showing us that devotion means, that the meaning of bhakti or the meaning of devotion is that Krishna, Bhagavan, he loves and serves his devotees. As you can see, Radharani is the greatest devotee. And 10 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 28 says, Aniya Aradito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. That Aniya Aradita Nunam, that certainly Nunam, that Radharani, she's the greatest of all, she's the greatest of all worshippers. Aniya Aradito Nunam, Aniya Aradita Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. So this is, again, the narration is continuing. Shukha Muni is narrating. The gopis aren't speaking any dialogues here, but he's explaining what's happening. The gopis are wandering, and their minds are bewildered as they're pointing out the various signs of Krishna's pastimes as they see them or as they imagine them to be happening. Then this 36, the particular gopi with whom Krishna has led into a secluded forest when he abandoned all the other young girls, she began to think, actually, I'm the best of the gopis. This is Radharani. My beloved Krishna has rejected all the other gopis, even though they are impelled by Cupid himself. And he has chosen to reciprocate with me alone. So here, Shukha Muni is showing he's entering into the minds of the gopis, and he's speaking on their behalf, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. This is what's being told in verse 35 and 36 of chapter 30. Jiva Goswami Pad, he gives a beautiful commentary on these two verses. He says this. He says, having praised, after praising the love of the divine couple, because in the previous verse in 34, Shukha Muni described, as we discussed now for quite a few minutes, he said that Krishna is Atmaram. He's Atmaram and Aptakam. He's completely fulfilled and satisfied within himself. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing needing in Krishna. There's no, he's not wanton lover. He's not needing, he doesn't need Radharani. He doesn't need the gopis. He's Swarupananda, completely blissful. But an overflowing, the overflowing nature of his love, although he's completely self-satisfied, is he wants to satisfy, Krishna wants to satisfy and please his devotees. The gopis want to be with him. They want to serve him. They want to dance with him. They want to have romantic intimacies with Krishna, so and to please him in that way. So then he reciprocates. So he established the unique transcendental position of Krishna being Atmaram or Atmarata. In the Sanskrit, it says Atmarata. Atmarata is the same as Aptakam. And he's Atmaram, which means he's bliss personified. His very form is made of Anand, Sarup Anand. So now in the continuing, now Shukadeva Goswami is describing, he praised the love of the divine couple, says Jiva Goswami Pad. And now Shukha Muni is describing the pastimes of Radharani's Man. Man is a feature of love, is a feature of transcendental love. Man, long A, Man. Not like man, but Man. It's jealousy, it's pride, because man means self-worth, pride. So Radharani, when she feels insulted and she feels proud, man includes pride, man includes envy, man includes self-dignity. So Radharani, she's becoming proud. I am the best. Sobhagyaman. It's called Sobhagyaman. Sobhagyaman. She's proud of her fortune. This phrase is mentioned earlier in chapter 29, the Rasalila. Now all the gopis are feeling sobhagya. Everyone knows Hindi. It's good, lots good bhagya. Sobhagya means subhagya becomes sobhagya. Sobhagya man. It's a fact actually. Their fortune is very, very great and they're proud of that. We're with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. We're with Madhurya Purushottam. We're with him and he's ours and we are his. And that's a fact. Existential, eternal, real fact. But Krishna, he's teaching through his devotees. Krishna loves his devotees. He comes to love his devotees. He comes to reciprocate with their love and be intimate with them, to be close with them. But then he comes to teach. He teaches through his devotees, just like a father may have two children, say two sons. So he may be teaching the younger son by punishing the older son. So, because I was the youngest of three sons, so I didn't get hit much, but I watched a lot. I watched my two brothers, and then I quickly learned this is the way to avoid getting hit. I had to behave like this so I don't end up like that. So my father was teaching me through my elder brothers. So Krishna is teaching. Arjuna is not an illusion. Arjuna is a Nitya Parishad. He's a premi. He's a premi. He loves Krishna and Sakiras as a friend. And he's in the Vaikuntha region. He comes here to love Krishna, to be with Krishna in the Mahabharata, or maybe even South India, the description of the pastimes. It describes how once Narada Muni came to visit Arjuna and Krishna, and Arjuna had gone to Dwarka to visit his beloved friend Krishna, and they were sleeping, you know this pastime. They were sleeping in the bed, the royal bed, maybe Rukmini's palace or somewhere. Krishna was in the bed, and his head was facing north, and Arjuna was lying next to him, and Arjuna's head was facing south. So they weren't side by side. They were like viparita. Krishna's head was facing north in that bed. So, and what was Arjuna doing? Arjuna was clutching the feet of Krishna to his chest. Arjuna was holding Krishna's feet to his chest, and he was sleeping. And then on the other side, Krishna was holding Arjuna's feet to his chest, and he was sleeping. So Narada Muni came and he saw, oh, this is really Prem Sambandha. This is the Atma Paramatma Prem Sambandha, Bhagavan Jiva Prem Sambandha. What a Sambandha, what a relationship, what intimacy. So he saw this physical, well, let's say transphysical, spiritual posture of the love of the master and the servant, and the friend of the friend, and all the different levels of the relationship, basically friendship, sakirati. But then, moreover, he was standing there and he heard some sound, some mantra, and he put his ear close to Arjuna's form, his divine spiritual form, and he heard coming out of every pore of Arjuna's body, he heard a mantra, and the mantra was Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then but he was hearing some other sound too, from a little nearby, close by, another sound, another mantra. Then Narada Muni realized, something's coming from Krishna's body. So then Narada Muni put his ear to Krishna's body, and he heard coming from Krishna's body, all from his arms, hands, his whole body, every pore of his body, Arjuna, 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 Arjuna. So this is the Krishna comes to love his devotees and reciprocate with his devotees, but he also teaches. Tahino shmin yata dehi komaram yovanam jura tata dehantara pravtir diras tata namuyati. Oh Arjuna, you're lamenting. Oh, why are you lamenting for your teachers and Dronacharya and your relatives and your grandfather? You're supposed to be a wise man of Pandava, the Gandiva Dara. You're a Pandava, but you're speaking nonsense. And why are you attached to this body from boyhood to youth to old age? You're traveling in this body. You'll die. You'll get another body. Namuyanti. Namuyanti. Why you get bewildered? Moha Muyanti. So that's us. We're bewildered. We're attached. And so he teaches through his devotees. So Krishna is teaching through Radharani, through the devotees. He's teaching. Now Radharani's in Man. So Jiva Goswami, he's teaching, what I mean to say, Radharani's proud, she's proudful, and then Krishna's teaching through his devotees, Radharani and the gopis, I don't like pride. Pride precedes a fall. It's interesting. Krishna's teaching, I don't like pride. I don't like it. This is one of the primary teachings of the Rasalila, this man. And then but most people who read Rasalila, they don't pick up this shiksha. They don't pick up this lesson. They get lost in the romance or lost in the beauty or the dancing or lost in the misconceptions of what's really going on, or they project their own inadequacies or and criticism into Krishna's lila. It's, oh, he can't be Bhagavan. But they miss the actual teachings of pride. And pride is demoniac quality, asura sampat. In the 16th chapter of Gita, the Damba, when Krishna starts being asura, Daiva Asura Sampat. Sampat means the asset, the art, the object, the wealth, the asset. What do you have with you? What are you made of? So there's the devotee, Sur, the devotee, and Asur. The Sur means Sura means Saurya. Saurya, Sora or Saurya is the name for Krishna. Sori is the name for Krishna. So Sura is the one who's a devotee of Saurya. Anyways, technical. So Asura means he's not devoted to Sori. Sori means S-A-U-R is the name for Krishna. So the divine and demoniac, or the devotee and the non-devotee. So the first quality that's listed is Dumba. Dumba means pride. So this lesson is giving there in Rasleela, and our acharyas point that out, that's Sobhagyaman, and it's a fact that they were proud of their great fortune, and they are most fortunate. And the greatest rishis and the greatest yogis of the universe, they want to attain that fortune. The Shruticharis from Mahavaikuntha, the Shruticharis are waking up Vishnu every day with the Purusha Shukta prayers. They're waking him up with beautiful mantras. The Shruticharis, Narada Muni came there to Mahavaikuntha and was narrating the glories of the gopis and Braj Leela. And the Shrutis became attracted. And they, we would like to be gopis. So that's in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, that the Shruticharis, the famous Shruticharis who spoke the Shruti Stuti, or the prayers of the personified Vedas in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 87, 86, they came from Mahavaikuntha. They came to this planet and they did tapasya for thousands and millions of years to become gopis. So certainly the gopis are proud, and they have all right to be proud. And then what to speak of the Dandakaranya sages? They saw Ramachandra and Sita in the forest, and they became overwhelmed with conjugal feelings, with amorous feelings for some reason. They thought, oh, Rama is so beautiful and Sita is so fortunate. Sita has such sobhagya. We would like to have the fortune of Sita, but it's not possible with Ramachandra because he has ekpatni brat. He has a vow to accept only one wife. What to do? So their desire of these Dandakaranya sages, rishis, we would like to have this intimacy, the sweetness, the beauty, the purity, this romantic love and attachment of Ram and Sita. We would like to experience that. Somehow this desire came within them. So Ramchandra, because he's Bhagavan, he fulfilled their desire. He said, all right, in this form I am limited in terms of my ras. Bhagavan, all forms of Bhagavan, Vishnu, Ram, Krishna, they are one in tattva. One in tattva, one in identity. They're all Bhagavat tattva, but they're different in ras. So the Swayam Bhagavan, who has Swayam means the full expression of ras, all the five rasas in the deepest expression, deepest form, are found in Bhagavan Sri Krishna and Vrindavan. So Ramachandra, being God, God can fulfill all desires. Ramachandra is also Om Purnamadam Vadachite. He's full and complete. So, all right, Bhavatu. You will become my lovers. So they did tapasya following the gopis for thousands of years. So they want the fortune, the greatest Shruticharis and the rishis of Dandakaranya. They want this sobhagya. They want this great fortune of being Krishna's gopis. And now the gopis are glorified by Shukamuni as having sobhagyaman. And Krishna says, I don't like this sobhagyaman. So he leaves. He left them. Pride precedes the fall. So man, in one sense, is demoniac quality. But man, to be proud of being Radharani's proud of Krishna. And then, so Krishna's hinting at this quality that pride is the enemy of prema. There's P for pride and P for prema. So pride destroys prema. You can even see, if there's a relationship, prema means love in Hindi. We're talking about Krishna prema. Alokic prem. So even if there's a relationship of the man and woman, husband and wife, if either party is too proud, it will destroy the love. Even in this world, pride, because the hearts cannot melt together properly and bond in love if either the husband or the wife is unduly, excessively proud. It will block the flow of care and concern. Because when one is proud, they're egoistic and they're self-centered. So pride prevents us from actually expressing the intensity of care and selflessness that's required in a true bondage of love. You can understand if you think about it. So even in mundane love. So this is hinted at pride, man, and Jiva Goswami will speak more, but I'm just kind of taking off on this kind of spontaneously. And I see that this is 5,000 years ago, because the whole Rasalila is about love. It's a love story. Like the famous stories of Cleopatra and whatever, Caesar or whatever. And Penelope and Odysseus or whatever. And Romeo and Juliet, whatever. They're mundane, of course. But the transcendental love it's a, oftentimes professors or others, they examine the Vedas or they say, oh, this is the greatest love story ever told. The greatest transcendental love story. It's a fact, but it's transcendental. And it's transforming, as Shukamuni mentions, and which I mentioned earlier. When you hear about the romantic activities of Krishna and the gopis, your lust decreases. Your lust will disappear. Kamam ridrogam. Kamam, kamam, kamam ridrogam. Acharena vidanoti satam. This ridrogam, disease of the heart. Rogue means disease. This disease of the heart, lust, selfishness, passion, egoism, it will all be destroyed. That's the transformation. From material lust will come divine love. But if we hear about the romantic, we read love stories, material love stories, or hear about romantic activities of our friends, we'll become transformed. And it means that we'll become more lusty. We'll become more agitated. We won't become free from lust by hearing about lust. So this is the difference. So now, this pride aspect is being brought out here by Jiva Goswami and in the whole Rasalila itself. The interplay of pride, the interplay, interconnection of pride and prema, Krishna prema. Somehow, in the last 4,500 years, the human beings and the sadhakas did not get the message. They didn't get the message that to give up this pride and surrender to Krishna. So then Krishna came again. He appeared as Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the very... He repeats this verse, he repeats twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita for emphasis. And then picking up the thread of his idea, Krishna's Kaviraj, he comments on the second time it's spoken. He says, yes, every devotee should wear this verse around his neck as a mala. We have Kanti mala or Hira mala or Sona mala. We have gold necklace and pearl necklace and Nila mala, if we're really rich, blue sapphire necklace, whatever we have. But do we have this mala? Do we have this mala? What is this mala? Dainya mala. Dainya mala, humility. Trinadapi sunichena tarori vasahishna. Amani na mana dena kirtaniya sadahari. Sadahari, sadakirtan. Going on and on. So he hammered it in modern language. Mahaprabhu hammered this point. He drove this point home. Humility, humility, humility. And all of our acharyas and our rasikjans, when you read their commentaries and Goswami books, they're always talking about humility. This one of the most famous Gaudiya Vaishnava commentators on the Goswami's Granta in the last 50 years is Srila Anantadas, Pandit Sri Anantadas Babaji Maharaj, who is now Goloka Dham, Gata, has gone to Goloka Dham, but he has left his legacy in Bengali, especially of many, many 50 or 60 books, which have translated now in Russian, Hindi, and English, some of them. And so much he's preaching about Krishna prema and humility. And so is Narottam Das Thakur in his own writings in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, stressing humility and freedom from this dumba. So this Krishna disappears from the gopis because of their collective pride. So he disappeared to teach that pride is not good, and he also disappeared to show the preeminence and supreme position of Radharani over all the other gopis. He only took her and no one else. Then Radharani, at this juncture, she's about to become proud, show some pride, and Krishna wants to show that he's equal. Krishna's equal to all. Even Krishna will kill his own son. In the Krishna book, when Krishna came as the Varaha avatar, Keshava Drita Sukara Rupa, Jaya Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Sukara, this Varaha, this transcendental boar, B-O-A-R, he came to kill Hiranyaksha in the beginning of Satya Yuga. And then at that time, the earth was fallen into the bottom of the Garbhadaksha ocean. And in the bottom of the ocean is all mud and gook and dirt and all the kinds of remnants and remains and debris from old fish and whatnot. So Mother Bhumi, the whole Earth planet was covered with black stuff. So she wasn't feeling very happy. She was in the bottom of the ocean. The bottom of the ocean is all like dirty things and all dead fish bodies and everything. So then Krishna came in the perfect form. Krishna adopted the perfect form to go to dirty places and dirty nalis and all these type of places we see in the villages. So Krishna picked up Mother Bhumi from the dirty place. So when Krishna contacts a jiva, then there must be some result. Something must be produced. There must be some fruit. When Krishna contacts a jiva, and the holy name contacts a jiva, then the fruit is produced. It's called prema phal. Prema is the fruit of bhakti, bhakti bhav and prema. So when we contact Krishna, his mercy and the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and bhakti enters our heart, then we do bhakti bhajan, we get the fruit. And the fruit that we desire is prema, Krishna prema. So when Krishna contacted Bhumi, they produced a fruit, and the fruit was in the form of a son. Bhumi and Varaha combined together at that beautiful, auspicious time of her liberation from the Garbhadak ocean. And Krishna filled her with his love and gave her a beautiful child named Bhomasura. Bhomasura is described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. But due to bad association, it became hellish. His mentality, it's like crystal. We may have a good mind. Our mind is like spotika, spotik. Spotik means crystal. But we have a good mind or a good heart. But in bad association, the mind may become black or dirty, and the heart may become filled with bad qualities. Greed, violence, anger, lust may come out and disturb by bad association. So it takes on the qualities. So this Bhomasura, the son of Varaha and Mother Bhumi, he was a good boy. He was a good Gurukuli. He was a good boy. And he grew up nice and went to school and did his homework and all that. But then he had bad association. He started associating with the wrong crowd and some demoniac people like Banasura. Banasura is notorious. And then he became hellish. His mentality became hellish. We can have a divine, as we're saying, divine and demoniac qualities of chapter 16 of Gita. So his mentality went from divine and godly to ungodly and demoniac by bad association. This is a lesson to learn. So the Bhomasura became Narak, Narakasura. Narak means hell, and ultimately he went to hell. So he fought Krishna, and then Krishna killed him. So Krishna killed his own son to show his equality, that he doesn't spare anyone. When it comes to justice, even his own son will be killed. So therefore, even Radharani, his favorite of all gopis, is now showing pride. And he left all the other gopis to teach. Krishna's equal. It says, as I mentioned earlier in the Gita, Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Jvesyo Stiya Priya. Krishna says in Gita, I am equal, samaham sarvabhuteshu, all sarvabhuteshu, samaham. I have no dvesh, I have no envy, I have no favorites, I don't play any favorites, I'm equal to everyone. So he's your son, you should spare him. No, I'm not sparing Bhomasura. He's demoniac, I will kill him. Krishna killed him. So this is the point. So now he's showing equal dealings. Oh, the gopis are showing pride. I leave them and take Radharani. Oh, now Radharani's showing pride. I leave Radharani also. So if Krishna can favor us and be so close to us and so near to us and so tangible to us, but if pride creeps in for whatever reason, some external attainment, some recognition, some position, some title, some fan club, and we get proud, then Krishna disappears. Poof, he'll leave. And we'll cry. At least we hope so. Cry in the absence of Krishna, like the gopis are crying in the absence of Krishna, or Radharani will be crying in the absence of Krishna. The Jiva Goswami said there's the... Now Radharani thinks of her special position. Previously, Radharani did not have pride when she was with all the other gopis. But now such thoughts have arisen in Radharani, which she's been favored and singled out by Krishna and whisked away from all the other gopis. Now she's alone with Krishna, so she's become proud, says Jiva. And there's two types of pride. There's man. One is permanently filled, that which is permanently filled with joy, which manifests when the lover is present, and that which is permanently filled with great pride, which manifests when some other object appears. Radharani developed great joy extending for a long period when Krishna appeared with her alone. So she's very proud. Oh, I'm feeling very joyful in that intimate, solitary association with Krishna. But now that man manifested somewhat externally. So Radharani was proud, but she kept it inside within herself, and Krishna couldn't perceive it. At least he wasn't allowing himself. Yogamaya wasn't letting him perceive it. So Krishna couldn't perceive how Radharani was feeling. Really, wow, I'm really lucky. Because anyone who's favored by a big person will naturally feel some inner joy or some inner happiness. Oh, this person is favoring me or showing special interest to me and nobody else. And it's a natural psychology. It's natural. And so in Radharani, this is Nara Leela. So there's some similarities we can see between the nature of we human beings, ladies and gentlemen, and Radha and Krishna. Well, there's a vast difference in quality and ultimately the nature of the feelings, because they're transcendental and spiritual, and our feelings are limited and material. So now externally she's indicating her pride, and that's what will come up in what she's saying in this verse. It says Radharani she's thinking this, but then she's, because thinking precedes speaking. So Radharani's thinking, oh, I'm really fortunate. That's what we find in verse 35 and 36. And Jiva Goswami is going on. So now the other kind of pride is when you speak externally. So Radharani felt superior because Krishna gave up all the other gopis who were also filled with desire. And he chose to show affection only for me. So though man appears in others also, it refers only to the Braja Gopis. So the Braja Gopis man is special, just as their Krishna prema is special and not like the ordinary pride in material people, says Jiva Goswami. So this is the commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. In verse 36, he says, after describing the Sambhog Vilas, or union aspect, the Sambhog Vilas, or union meeting with Krishna aspect of Radha's amorous pastimes with Krishna in verses 30 through 34, which I mentioned earlier. Krishna's with Radharani. He carries her on his shoulder. He sets her down. He goes and picks flowers for her, which he saw that Radharani was glancing at when Krishna was carrying Radharani. Now, how did he notice this? I can't tell. But he's carrying Radharani on his shoulder. At that time, he noticed that Radharani was glancing at different night-blooming flowers in the forest, like Ratki Rani or lilies or whatever type of flowers there are that blossom at night. And Radharani noticed that. So when Krishna set Radharani down, then Krishna went to pick those very same flowers, and he brought them back, and then he started brushing Radharani's hair and decorating Radharani's hair with them and offering them to Radharani. So these are all, sambhog means sambhog, enjoying together. And it can be in a very intimate meaning of that, in the Kunja Leela, Nikunja Rahasya Leela, or Sambhog Leela can also mean just Julan Leela, Jal Keli, splashing water, swinging together on a swing, playing holy. This is Sambhog, enjoying together. But Sambhog, and the ultimate expression of Sambhog is called Prayog. Sambhog, Prayog. Prayog means amorous union. So this and these different exchanges which I mentioned, which were previously described in the 10th canto, chapter 30, then Radha and Krishna were enjoying the intimacies of being close together and playing together and walking the forest together, all the gopis, and Krishna had his arm on Radharani's shoulder, and they're walking together and singing, and all these things are been described. So now the shift in the next few verses, Krishna is going to disappear from Radharani. So when Krishna leaves Radharani, then it's viraha, not with, not living with. Raha means re raha hung. May Radhakun, may re raha hung. I live in Radhakun. So raha means to live with. So viraha means not living with or separated from my residence. This is one meaning of viraha. Viraha or vipralamba, rust. When the lovers are separated by distance, by mind, by distance, by circumstance. There's four different major varieties of viraha or vipralamba. So Vishnu Chakravarti is pointing that now viraha or separation will be described. Words in the verse, there's two words, amazing. There's two words in this verse. And verse 36, it starts off with Sacha, Sacha mane tadatmanam. And Sacha just means she, and Cha means also. Also she. Also Radharani, these words indicate, Chakravarti Pad says, these words indicate that previously all the other gopis were intoxicated with pride over their good fortune. It actually was called, the Sanskrit was not Sobhagya Man, was actually Sobhagya Mada. I actually forgot. So the word Mada means mud and mud, Mada, Mada, Shorde, Mada. It means intoxication. Kam, Krod, Lobh, Mo, Mud, Matsarya. Kam, Krod, Lobh, Matsarya. So this Mo means illusion or Moha, Brahma, Vimohan, Lila. So Mada means intoxication, but it also Mada also means pride. So Sobhagya Mada, you could say Sobhagya Man. But Shukamuni didn't say Sobhagya Man, because that would just mean that they were proud of their good fortune. They were proud, Man. But when you say Sobhagya Mada, it means pride, intoxicated pride. They were intoxicated with their pride. And wow, they were actually, because you can become intoxicated by wealth. You can become intoxicated by pride. You can become intoxicated by your strength or so many things, like we see in the story, which we're meditating on and singing about every day. Nala Kuvera, you know, Kuvera Atmajo. So we're talking about Nala Kuvera Mani Griva. They were the sons of Kubera. And in the commentaries in the shlokas of the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, chapter, I don't know, 9 or whatever it is, Damodar Lila, they're saying that these two devatas, they were intoxicated with wealth because their father was the treasure, you know, the World Bank. I mean, the Jagat Bank. You know, the bank of the universe, Kubera, Big Daddy was Kubera, so they had lots of money, and so they were so intoxicated, they thought they could stand naked in a local swimming hole or whatever, some river, some lake with some devis and enjoy. And then Narada Muni came and said, Narada Muni, so what? Narada Muni, where's your Veena? You know, because at the time, Narada Muni didn't have his Veena. It's not that the Veena is glued to his chest, I mean. He also walks around, like you may play guitar or mridanga, but it's not always stuck on your head, you know. So Narada Muni, like Krishna plays a flute, but sometimes he eats and then he takes it off his mouth and puts it in his, you know, it's not very far, it's in his waist, tucked in his waist. Even Krishna sleeps with his flute. Sometimes Krishna's with Radharani and he has Radharani on one arm and he's holding onto his flute with one hand and Radharani with the other hand. So Krishna's flute is very dear to him, you know. But not, he doesn't always hold on to his flute, and sometimes he drops it, and that's a whole lila called Vamshi Chori Lila. Vamshi Chori, where Radharani and the gopis steal Krishna's flute. That's one of the most beautiful pastimes. It's so beautiful, it happens every day in Radhakund. And Madhyan Lila, Krishna's. Because, you know, there's nothing like getting something stolen and then getting it. The feeling of getting something stolen is really debilitating. But the feeling of retrieving what your stolen property, that's really exhilarating. There's a debilitating feeling of getting ripped off or robbed, but the exhilarating feeling of being reunited with your beloved possession. There's nothing more beloved than his Priyavamshi. Krishna's Priyavamshi. It's called Priyavamshi because Vamshi is feminine. And so Priya means my beloved and has many implications. And the gopis even criticize, Krishna, you're always kissing that Vamshi, your Priya Vamshi. Priya means my beloved Vamshi, because Vamshi could be a girl's name. She could be called Vamshi or Murali. Murali is, it's a feminine word, Vamshi. The Krishna's Leela is so sweet, because we say Madhurya Purushottam, Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, Prema Madhurya. So that's the fact. Mahaprabhu came to teach us. Gaudiya's, many people worship Krishna. Many Vaishnava means worship of Ram or Vishnu or Krishna. And many types of sampradayas. And they all worship Krishna, to attain Krishna and to go to Krishna. Krishna prapti, Vaikuntha prapti. But Gaudiya's, we don't worship Krishna. We worship the sweetness within Krishna. This is a speciality. That's why Rupa Goswami, he enunciates and defines these aspects of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, which you won't find defined by other acharyas of other Vaishnava sampradayas. We emphasize, everyone knows this, even from day when you're 5 years old in Gurukul, you learn that Krishna has four sweetnesses: Lila Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, Prima. Where is Vaikuntha Krishna's Vena Madhurya? Vishnu does not play the flute. Ram does not play the flute. He plays twang, twang, twang. He has a danur. Ram has a danur. It's a bow, and you pull the string, and it goes twang, twang. Ram plays ektar. You know ektar? Ektar means one string. He plays danur ektar. Danur means bow, and has one string. And you pull it, and it goes ding. And if you move your finger on the string, you can get higher, low notes. Ding, 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 dong, 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 ding, 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 dong, dong, dong. But Krishna not only plays one kind of flute, but he plays three kinds of flute: the 6-inch flute, the Venu; the 15-inch flute, the Vamshi; and the 1-meter flute, the Murali. The Venu is for the cows, the Vamshi is for the coward boys and gopis, and the Murali is for only Radharani and the gopis, for Rasleela, Muralidhar. So we worship the sweetness of Krishna. Rupa Goswami is hammering the point, and he learned the point from Sri Krishna Chaitanya in the Madhyan Leela and the Rupa Shiksha. Teach, bring out the sweetness, bring out the sweetness, bring out the sweetness. That's why he's called the Rasacharya. And all of our acharyas and Goswamis are always describing the sweetness of Krishna, the Rupa Madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna's form, the Leela Madhurya, the sweetness of his pastimes, and the Prema Madhuri, the sweetness of his loving exchanges. Who are the boyfriends of Vishnu? Who are the girlfriends of Vishnu? Who's the mother of Vishnu? Where's little Lala Vishnu? Where's Vishnu with a laddu in his hand, crawling in Vaikuntha? You saw? There's no baby Vishnu. Baby Ram. First the Ram. Followers of Ram, they had that idea, but it's not in the Shastra. So this is Krishna. We worship the sweetness within Krishna. We'll finish Vishnu's commentary. So previously it was indicated all their gopis were intoxicated with pride, so Bhagya Mata, over their good fortune on associating with Krishna. And now Radha has also become proud. Therefore, Hitwa. It's very interesting because the verse says that in verse in the 10:30-36 it says tadat manam hitwa gopi kamayana hitwa gopi. As we say in English, pride precedes a fall. So the same thing here in the Sanskrit is saying mam and hitwa. Hitwa means to leave, to reject, to fall. So the same thing is there. Radharani became proud, so hitwa means to reject, to separate, to give up. So hitwa sarvayoshitam. Hitwa sarvayoshitam. Sarvayoshita means all the beautiful gopis. All of them, sarvayoshita. Yoshita means the gopis, the girls, the ladies. He left them all because of pride and even left Radharani. So in other words, the anger or purva man that Radharani previously felt towards the other gopis over their good fortune had now vanished. So Radharani was, previously she was feeling proud, I'm better than the other gopis. But when Krishna left her, then that pride left her. Oh, I'm not better than the other gopis. I'm even maybe worse because the other gopis weren't with Krishna. I was chosen to be with Krishna, so I was proud. But now Krishna left me too, so I'm suffering even more than the gopis because Krishna didn't single them out, didn't go with them, he left with me. So they were proud just to be in a general mass with Krishna. I was proud to be alone with Krishna, and they were suffering when Krishna left them, And now I'm suffering even more because he not only left all the gopis, but he also left me. So now Radharani's suffering even more. And we'll find out more about Radharani's suffering and how the gopis find her in the upcoming verses of the Ras Lila. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. So we invite everyone to join us in Harinam if you like. It's